All right, Ramona Shelburne in, Andy Kamenetsky in. John is traveling back from Denver, and Mace is on vacation. What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Perfect time for Mason to take a vacation, Conference Finals.
What's up with your guy? Travis is not here. Like, he's just like.
Trav's got a far better excuse, which is that it's his father's 75th anniversary.
Oh, okay.
75th birthday. So,
yeah, he's 75th anniversary.
Sorry. Yeah, he's out there making tacos. But it's okay. So, let me ask you guys something, because I know we're all around the same age and we all have sort of similar pop culture interests. And something came up on my timeline the other day that I did not realize people had not seen before. Now, we all know about the situation with the Royals and all the infighting in England, but. I was thinking about this the other day because somebody asked me if I cared about the Royals at all, and I do not. But I posted a video that apparently was news to a lot of people, which is one time where Diana, the late great princess, basically ran a 40-yard dash in her bare feet at a field day for her kids. And she's a pretty good athlete. Like, I've seen a lot of people who were really famous try to do athletic things, and they are terrible at them. I did not realized that people didn't know the Princess Di could, you know, really move. She was a pretty good athlete. Anyway.
I had no idea, but it's funny you bring this up, Clinton, because before Momo and I joined you, we were just talking about how my daughter, she's 12, and the only sport she's ever been into is volleyball, but she says at least she has developed an interest in baseball.
Uh-oh.
and wanting to play this summer. I might sign her up for like a week camp or something. But I showed her the clip of in, was it 2001, Momo?
2001. Not so long ago.
World Series, whatever it's called.
Women's College World Series.
Yes. Women's College World Series. Momo.
Yeah.
Running home off an RBI from Jessica Mendoza. And let me tell you folks something. If you want to go to YouTube, you can find this. Momo booking.
Yeah. Wheels. Awesome wheels.
Wheels. Love it.
Can we get some glory days?
If we could build a time machine and have Momo race Princess Di.
Well, okay.
Oh, no, I'd win.
I saw that clip, too. She was moving. Princess
Diana
was moving.
Yeah, and
that's the
thing.
She was out the gate, too.
Momo,
there was a point where it looked like she was just, like, hanging out.
My question, AK, is who are like the people that otherwise are not known for anything athletic but are otherwise super famous? Like, I've never seen anybody that famous doing anything that athletic, if I'm being honest. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know. I think about
this. Well, I mean, we have our celebrity basketball game every year at the All-Star game, right? The ESPN, yeah. ESPN one. And there's some people who can play.
Jamie Foxx was apparently a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah,
like, growing
that's
up.
True,
like,
too.
Really, really good.
Jamie Foxx is good on that list. But again, I don't have any clips of Jamie Foxx banging on nobody in the lane.
Okay, I got
a story
anything
for you. Like that.
I got a story for you.
I got like Darren Ravel out here making himself look like an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the best I can think of.
Ramona, when I first moved to L.A., I was on more of the west side, kind of near UCLA. Remember when it was Sports Club L.A.? Do you remember the, the Sports Club? So I think it's an Equinox now, but when it was Sports Club
LA. Back when
Club
the Clippers
LA,
used to work out there all the time?
It's the greatest. I used to cover so many practices there.
Okay,
just walk past people on the treadmill.
Hey,
Elton Brand.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was Sports Club LA at the time. I just moved to LA, and I would – they had great pickup games there, right? And it was only a couple blocks from where I was living. So one day I'm playing, and Jamie Foxx walks into one of the games, and he's going to play some pickup. And I'm like, all right, well, I think if we win, I think Jamie Foxx has next. And then we ended up winning. Jamie Foxx teams come up. I'm guarding Jamie Foxx for one full game.
Wow.
And you just said you think Jamie Foxx kind of an athlete, this, that. He was so nonchalant about everything, and every time, like, I just left him for a second, he just hit a three right in my face. I'm like, what the hell was that? I didn't know he shoot. I had no idea he shoots. It wasn't too far after Ali movie came out.
Right.
You know, he had one of his famous quotes, is one of my favorite quotes, I've never had a 10, but I've had 5 2s. Right? It's just, anyways, the Jamie Foxx story comes from
it. All right, Jamie Foxx, I'll add him to the list. But, yeah, these are the kind of weird things I think about all the time, AK.
Okay, I got a quick question for you guys. So I'm a fly back from Denver today. I stayed at an Airbnb when I was out here.
What?
Yeah. Okay, look, this is
it's time for you to join the club and get some Marriott points.
This is the reaction that some people have. I mentioned it to Michael. We're getting ready to do the game one. I'm like, Michael, yeah, I'm in an Airbnb. And he was just like disgusted. He's like, how can you stay in an Airbnb? They don't even clean those things. I don't know if Michael just thinks like every Airbnb is a frat house and there's just new people rotating in and out. Are you, Ramona, it sounds like I already have the answer from you. Are you guys Airbnb or hotel people?
I do Airbnbs when I'm traveling for fun. Right.
Bingo.
Like when I go to spring training with my girls, we went to an Airbnb. I stayed at an Airbnb when I was in Israel. That was like when I'm on my personal business. I think they're better in a lot of ways than hotels because they're not always more economical, but a lot of times they are, especially in like big cities. But I don't know, when I'm traveling on business, I'm getting some points.
So here was my
talking about.
I love Airbnb. I take Airbnb in a hotel over a hotel all day long. But also for us to do the shows, I got to have a hard line. Like, I got to have the internet line. Basically,
yeah.
To do the shows that we're doing now, it's so spotty to do it in a hotel. But I put up a poll on Twitter. 70% prefer hotels over Airbnb. I didn't know it was that drastic, that big of a difference.
My problem with Airbnb, for me personally, I have no issue with anyone else using it. I would probably have no issue with me using it, like, in a vacuum. The problem I have is because I would so never want strangers staying in my house. like I, whenever I picture going Airbnb, I never end up doing it because I start imagining these random weirdos in my own home and I can't do it. I just can't. Like, I'm put off by the idea, even though I know these people renting out the Airbnb, they're trying to get me in. I still keep picturing them somehow like showing up at my place, and I don't want it.
Wow.
You should put your place up for 1 week.
I feel like there's some other things to work out there in terms of why that's such a deep down fear. It's funny though.
I know you guys are going to spend
don't like
a ton.
People? I don't know if it's that deep down or that.
Well, I mean, because like the reason I say that is because I don't know that. I mean, are Airbnbs now? Do you actually think of them as staying in somebody else's house? I feel like most people who have Airbnbs are like renting.
That's all
out
they use.
Yeah. Other
that's
properties.
All they use it for.
Yeah, that's all they use it for. Yeah. You know, that's kind of evolved over the last couple years.
That's true. I guess in that sense, it's basically just like the studio apartment or a house or whatever version of a hotel. So it's probably time for me to get past this. I just need to recognize these people are not going to reciprocate and show up at my house.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't want anyone going through my stuff either. I think that's kind of like interesting. But most of the Airbnbs are kind of like rental properties.
That's it. That's all they
They're
are.
Not really somebody. I think there are occasionally people who will like rent out their house here and there. But who wants to leave their own house so that somebody else can rent it out for $150 a night?
Or Ramona, it's their vacation home.
Yeah.
And they go use it every once in a while. And when they're not there, they're renting it out to others. Okay, I know you guys are going to spend a lot of time on it, but I want to get your guys' thoughts. Last night's game, I thought the style of the game was favoring the Lakers. I thought they're getting to the free throw line. They got kind of a nice cushion, 8-point lead, 10-point lead, 6-point lead. Always felt like they were in control, and this was just as we're kind of leading up to the fourth quarter. And then Jamal Murray has just one of the great fourth quarter performances. 23 points. It didn't matter who you put on him, hitting shots over LeBron, hitting shots over Anthony Davis. He was incredibly, incredibly clutch. Just your guys, both your initial thoughts on what you saw yesterday.
It's a game that the Lakers could have won, should have won, and they are in some real trouble because they did not win it.
So I, as the writer in the group, I mean, you're a writer too. Yeah. Andy,
yeah, as right? is Clinton.
Yeah, as is Clinton. Okay, but I'm the one like I'm writing.
Alan, how does it feel to be the non-writer?
You're the non-writer.
I'm actually writing right now, just to feel like I'm part of the
like,
group.
Like the writer in the you know the writer in me is watching this, going, you know that play where LeBron tries to do the tomahawk dunk or the reverse dunk that he always does, and the ball slips out of his hands. It's kind of almost on the nose, right?
Yep.
It's a little on the nose for how that felt that game, and. You know, I don't know that ends up mattering in the series. Maybe the Lakers win the next two at home and it's a 7-game series and we'll just see what happens. But there were two or three plays in that game that were very un-LeBronian. You know, right? They're very un-Bron. I don't think I've ever seen him do that. Now, I am going to credit where credit is due. Dave McMenamin and I were texting last night and he said that LeBron James missed two dunks in his pregame warm-up.
Ooh.
What? Two dunks.
In pregame?
In pregame. And it was like one of those you file away. You're like, whoa, that's weird.
Oh, dear.
I never see Bron miss dunks in pregame.
No.
And he just kind of like put it in his back pocket. And then later I was texting him going, what was it? The missed dunk? The missed layup? What's happening? And he goes, I don't know if he has lift today. He missed two dunks in pregame. And I'm like, wait a minute. What? Mm. Like, it's the way I felt when I saw Steph and Clay. They were warming up before game five here in L.A. Game four in L.A. And they were shooting at the same time. Steph, you know, he works in a bunch of weird, you know, things in his routine. He throws a football pass. He does some volleyball, some soccer, whatever. And at one point, he did the volleyball pass. And as he did the volleyball pass, like a pass to his coach, not an actual shot, the ball hit Clay Thompson's shot in midair, and they both fell down. And I was like, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah,
like, no. that was weird,
that
man.
That is symbolism off the charts.
It's almost too much on the nose.
Momo, I said the same thing. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen. But it's not quite Willie Mays falling down in center field for the Mets. Not even close to that. But it was the first time where I just thought, I didn't even move. I just looked at that and I thought to myself, oh, I'm not sure that I've ever seen that before, and I don't know what comes next.
Especially because there was the layup and then the dunk that were basically back to back.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, look, as somebody who has experienced a phenomenon we like to call mom brain. Okay, that's where, like, you know, I'll walk by and I'm just doing too many things at once, and it's probably some combination of sleep deprivation, your mind being focused on the baby, you're doing 17 things at once. And you're, you know, just overall tired, whatever. And like constantly, Nevin will be like, did you mean to leave the refrigerator door open? And I was like, oh, no, sorry. You just closed that. My bad.
It's too cold in there. Just
yeah, like I'm just constantly doing stuff like
you
this.
You got to hit him back one time with a, yeah, I did.
I did. I did. I just wanted to use
yes.
that.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
You know, I just felt like a
dummy.
Stop questioning me.
Yeah.
like constantly doing like all
got
the time.
Got any other stupid questions now?
I will go by the microwave like, and like 3 hours earlier I had put something in there and I'll be like, ooh, yeah, that was
forgot
a while ago.
Probably have to cool
that.
It down, Devin.
Yeah, it's all cold now. I don't know if like maybe his mind is elsewhere or if there's some just straight up fatigue factor. Mm. Like he looked tired to me. Like he looked like a guy who was just trying to pick his spots. Maybe it's altitude. I don't know. Maybe it's defending Nikola Jokic. He was being asked to do a lot defensively. That just felt like a fatigue. You know, the only thing I can compare it to is mom brain. So, you know, some version of that. Ramona,
if I could say this, then doesn't then that make it more? Because Windhorst had mentioned this earlier today too. That he was doing a good job on the Joker.
He was,
and he was
defensively.
Trying.
LeBron was really good in this game.
Yeah,
he was quite
but when
good.
when you're someone that's doesn't that even make it more? Doesn't even I guess you could say more reason to. The team does need to be more strategic on offense. They do got to try to, and that's on Darvinham too. That's on some of these other players. Rui was having a good night. Austin Reeves certainly has had a good series so far. AD is always a weapon. I just hated we're firing up threes, specifically LeBron, and we know how he's been from the three-point line. But if he has this much fatigue, doesn't that give even more reason to try to be more strategic on offense rather than, I think the Denver Nuggets, every time a three was fired up, they said, all right, that sounds good. Go ahead and take those threes.
Yeah, I mean, they were daring him to shoot, and he was doing it. He was doing exactly what the Nuggets wanted him to do.
Well, it's not even just that they were daring him to do it. These were coming off possessions where there was no ball movement at all.
Yeah.
It was early-ish in the clock.
Yep.
It was basically the equivalent of, like, it wasn't even like a pull-up three as much as it was like a walk-up three. Yeah.
I don't even know how I'm going to say this out loud, okay? I'm going to say this out loud. This, like, as you're talking about this, if you just close your eyes and flash back to, like, November 15th or so, November 20th, you could just close your eyes and say that's Russell Westbrook out there.
I said it out loud.
I'm sorry.
No. Here's the thing,
but
though.
But that's kind of.
He's 1-for-20 in the fourth quarter in three-pointers.
This is something, actually, that we talked playoffs. About on today's Locked On Lakers, which is available everywhere you get podcasts 5 days a week.
Podcasts. Hey, aren't you the guy who does the Lakers dance party hoedown on your phone?
Indeed. It's also where you can watch the dance party hoedown on YouTube, because there's a YouTube component. Those misses from three, or the misses at the rim, the dunk. They felt Westbrookian in the sense of they were loud misses.
Yeah.
Because like Westbrook's misses.
They always hurt.
Yes.
Magnified.
They
yep.
always
they were
hurt.
Loud.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Big Sliwa. Oh,
we said
Fox
that.
At the gym
oh,
energy.
God.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's,
man.
There's an LA Fitness vibe to how this is all kind of going.
Make it
LA
a rain.
Fitness. Yeah.
Okay,
final
one. Just right, quick question, yeah. And then we're going to wrap up here. Let you guys do your show. You guys changing the starting lineup?
No.
Nah, roll with it. Look, everybody's coming down up out of the mountains. The sea air is nice. You're not going to be huffing and puffing. They're going to be fine in game three.
I just I don't think it would help. I actually don't think it would help. D'Angelo Russell just needs to play better or play less. But I like the rotation. I don't want to change the rotation.
The margin for error. There's no more margin for error, so they got to make things happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Super Crosstalk is powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Coming up next, it's Mason in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in, Andy Kamenitsky in. I hope you guys have a great weekend. 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good afternoon.
Can we get the breaking news sounder? We got the breaking news. Breaking news right off the top of the show.
Woo!
According to the Los Angeles Times, USC Athletic Director Mike Bone has resigned from his position. Bone issued the following statement to the Times. After more than 40 years of college athletics leadership, it is the right time to step away. Wow. There's a lot longer of this statement.
Somebody really didn't want to go to the Big Ten.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's actually really shocking. After everything they've done to bring in Lincoln Riley and all the other things.
Yeah. My work here there's is a, done.
Okay, here's a little at the end of this statement. We don't really have much of an explanation than the statement. In moving on, it is important now that I focus on being present with my treasured family, addressing ongoing health challenges and reflecting on how I can be impactful in the future.
Okay, well, obviously, then hope Mike Bone and
that's
his
a big
family.
that's worth the breaking news sound.
No, absolutely, right off the top, it deserves.
Wow,
yeah,
Bronny's going there. There's a lot of things that are happening at USC. It's a crazy.
Wait,
time
Bronny's going to USC?
Yeah,
what's he doing at USC?
Wow,
Bronny got he's going to
Bronny
play basketball.
James.
Oh, I thought you meant Adam Bronstein.
I was like, the how audience, do you not know this?
The audience knows Bronny James.
Right.
The studio knows right. Bronny as Adam Bronstein.
I thought you
different
meant...
Different places, people.
You know that is the greatest like compliment you could ever give Adam Bronstein right there.
I just
often
Adam
confused
Bronstein.
With Bronny James.
I thought you actually met Adam Bronstein. It's like, here's what it was. You said it with this look
so
of...
So much in common.
You know what it was, though? You said it with this look of seriousness.
Wow. Well,
Bronny is serious. Like, I love Adam, but Bronny is a much bigger name.
877-710 ESPN.
Who's the bigger name?
Bigger move to USC, Bronny James or Adam Bronstein? Wow. Right off the top, Andy Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne, hell of a show coming your way.
Well, two things. One is not like the other.
Oh, no. Yeah. There's... Literally,
wow, that's a shocker out of USC.
That really is. I mean, obviously, hope Mike Bone health is okay, family okay, all of that stuff. But that is shocking. That is legit.
Like
shocking.
You saw that, I was like, what? And I had to make sure it was a verified account.
I mean, Ryan Abraham, who you know everybody knows covering USC, his retweet of this news was whoa, which lets you know like this was not something. People expected. If we learn more about this, obviously let people.
Yeah,
know.
Obviously. Let's not do the thing and speculate. Let's not speculate. Let's just talk about what we know, which is that according to the LA Times, Mike Bone has resigned.
Well, according to Mike Bone has resigned.
Yeah,
he issued a statement, and we also know Adam Bronstein is not going to USC.
Glad you're clarifying that. Thank you.
I just want to make sure because, you know, things go viral quickly.
His wife might be listening.
She might be freaking out. The Rams might be listening. What if the Rams in this last minute replaced Bronstein? Like, they just got proactive. They replaced Bronstein. I've made a mess of this.
Yeah, you really have.
Speaking of messes.
But I hope he's okay. I mean, he did say that he was, you know, not feeling or has to do with health issues and things like that. There's, I just hope
everything's
okay.
Sort of at the end of the statement, there's a that's the closest you get to any kind of an explanation.
Yeah, that's, God, that's shocking.
It is legitimately shocking.
I mean, he has done about as good a job as you can do as an athletic director in a short time in terms of resurrecting the football program, landing Bronny James, not Adam Bronstein, you know, the basketball program. Wow.
Well, as we find out more, we'll get back into it. But yeah, there's something terrible.
We were going to talk about the Lakers.
We are going to talk about the Lakers. Speaking of messes, we were talking about down 0-2 in this series against the Nuggets. Lose last night 108-103. A game that, quite frankly, seemed in hand that they should have won. All credit to Jamal Murray for having the fourth quarter of a lifetime, 23 points, 6-7 from the field. But there was some Laker assistance in that comeback.
You know, it's I had this rant. I go on a nighttime walk, and that's like my way of kind of decompressing from the day. The boys go down, and I finished watching the games, et cetera. So I was going on my walk, and I was feeling pretty good. But then, like, around, you know, I go for about 45 minutes. About halfway through, I'm like, oh, man, my foot kind of hurts. And I go a little slower. You know, and then I go, is this what it's like to be LeBron? Like, he's out there, and he's feeling good, and he's doing good. And then the ball flips out of his hand. And then he can turn it on again and do a great coast-to-coast play, or he can defend Nikola Jokic, and he can drive in there. And then he misses a layup. I mean, that I felt like watching him, like, this is what it is like to be a 38-year-old star. Like, he's going to be really, really good sometimes, and you're going to see flashes of the old LeBron, and not even the old LeBron, but the current LeBron. But then there's going to be these moments where, whether it's mental fatigue, because I think the Golden State series took a lot out of him mentally and physically, or physical fatigue playing against Jokic, is he giving up 40 pounds to Jokic?
I mean, it says something whenever LeBron is giving up pounds to anybody, because LeBron is a big dude.
He's definitely giving up, let's just conservatively say 30 pounds to Jokic when he's defending him. And not to mention, you know, 4 or 5 inches at least. And he did a phenomenal job at that. But that is really a lot to ask. It's just they're playing too many minutes. When you look at AD and LeBron, and they're being asked to do too much in those minutes. And then when you're not getting enough from, you're not getting very much at all from Schroeder and D'Lo. Either of the two guards are not giving you anything. If anything, you're kind of having to cover up for them defensively because they have to put Jared Vanderbilt.
Well, Schroeder, I think, has been good defensively. Yeah,
he's actually been good. But you can't say anyone was good when Jamal Murray goes off like he did in the fourth
quarter.
You
know what? I actually thought they covered things reasonably well. Like, I thought he got legitimately hot. Again, the mistakes.
Yeah, a lot of those were contested threes.
They were contested. Where their execution fell apart to me wasn't defensively.
No, it was
with
offensively.
Everything, it was offensively.
You're watching it unfold, and you know it's like in the Jaws movies where you know the shark's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know what's going to happen if you do that.
There's just this bad execution when you're seeing. What was that? Oh, yeah. There it is.
No, not the wide open three, LeBron.
Not the wide open three. Don't do it.
Don't shoot it, AD. Don't do that. You're open for a reason.
Don't set up AD for a three. Not another set up for AD for three.
You're doing exactly what they want you to do.
I get now, there's a part of me now that actually gets bummed out when I see AD make a three.
I know, because then he's going to shoot again.
They're going to do this again, aren't they? Yeah. Because down the stretch, they were having AD space the floor.
Well, yeah, because LeBron needs to drive, and there's no room to drive if AD's inside.
Now, I get it, but it doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
And it definitely doesn't mean you have to kick it to him. But the execution down the stretch, whether you're talking about some of these, the way these sets were configured, whether you're talking about LeBron's decision with essentially not even pull-up threes, they're like walk-up threes with time left on the clock, no ball movement. That I don't know if they're fatigue, impatience, trying too hard for a knockout blow, losing confidence in other people, whatever it is, they're awful decisions. And they're not things that you expect from somebody like LeBron James, who is one of the smartest people to ever pick up a basketball. They're bad decisions. And like, this was a game where, in certain respects, the Lakers' stars let them down. It's not that they did nothing well in this game. I thought both of them had aspects of the game where they played quite well. But in terms of the overall picture, yeah, LeBron and AD did not come through in the way that the Lakers needed them to.
Yeah, especially at the end of the game.
Yeah,
I thought they both played really well. I thought the Lakers played exactly how they wanted to play for three quarters. And the last 8 to 12 minutes were not good. They it was just settling for shots, doing what Denver wanted them to. They just, you know, it was a very frustrating thing to watch because, I mean, it literally went from an 11-point Laker lead to a 12-point Denver lead.
It's crazy.
In a blink.
It turned so fast. And it was in a fourth quarter where Jamal Murray almost outscored the Lakers. He had 23 points. The Lakers had 24. Other than Murray and a couple shots from Michael Porter, nobody else could hit anything for Denver. Like, they were being carried by one of their stars. But then in the meantime, the Lakers as a team, but also their stars, were letting Denver back into this thing. They were doing Denver a lot of favors. 877-710-ESPN, if people want to weigh in. It is a Lakers Reaction Friday on 710-ESPN. Lakers come home down 2-0, and we want to get you pumped up for what's on tap for Game 3 on the Western Conference Finals. Tomorrow night, presented by Michelob Ultra, a refreshing and balanced flavor. With only 2.6 carbs, 95 calories, Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Please enjoy responsibly. Coming up next, we get into the ways that LeBron and AD did not come through down the stretch for the Lakers. And in terms of Anthony Davis as well, how it happened. Because I think sometimes people assume it's a certain way with AD, and I don't think it was the case last night. Andy Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne, in for the guys, 710 ESPN. So how long do we let it go before we start getting into the Ramona Shelburne reverse jinx thing?
Like, I'm ready for it.
How long do we let the show marinate?
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, Momo? You done bleep the Lakers.
I know.
There's no way around this.
There's nothing I can say now. Like, I think that unless they come back and win in six, it's me. The problem was me.
Hey, the sweep is real. It could absolutely still happen.
It could still happen.
The gentleman's sweep? Is that what that would be? You're down 0-2. You sweep the rest of it?
No, that's a five-game sweep.
That gentleman's sweep is a five-game
sweep. Gentleman's sweep is a five-game sweep.
Yeah, so what do you call a six-game sweep?
Six-game sweep? I mean, that's a series at that point.
It's really just four in a row.
Just four. I'd like to give it a name, though, at some point, if we can. I don't know what it will be.
It'll Airbnb
be the Momo
sweep?
For you, the Momo sweep.
Okay.
The Momo sweep. Now,
I mean, so to back up, every single round I have picked against the Lakers, not because I'm a Laker hater or on Ballmer's payroll, okay? They're the seven seed, and we can go all the way back to 6 weeks ago when they sort of stumbled into the playoffs, and Greg and I did a show together where we were like, I don't know about all this. They really don't look so good these last four or five games.
That's true.
I mean, you will probably find the sound.
Their play in victory over the Wolves was not particularly convincing.
They just stumbled into the playoffs.
They did not stumble into the playoffs because they had too much work to put themselves in the position to get into the playoffs.
Right, like, that's true.
It was impossible for them
to get
in.
The last four or five games and the play-in game were not impressive.
That is true.
So they get in, and then you're playing Memphis. And I'm like, well, I think young legs in a series where it's every other day after game three is going to be hard, especially if they don't have home court advantage. John Morant's John Morant, and as much as I think the Lakers can beat them, there's a lot stacked against them. We have to remember that Memphis was the number two seed for a reason. Mm-hmm. So I picked the Grizzlies in seven. Nope, obviously that was a nope. Mm-hmm. Next round, they're playing the Warriors. I'm very impressed by how they beat the Grizzlies, but I had just covered the seven-game series with the Warriors and the Kings, and it looked like the Warriors had really found that championship medal, you know, those road wins in Arco. They won Game 5 and Game 7 in Arco. Sorry, Taylor. And they looked like the Warriors of old. Plus, they are the defending champions. So even though that was a harder call, went with Warriors in seven. Neither of those picks look very good, right? Lakers in six, mm-hmm. Pretty easy six, too.
You had Lakers in an easy six?
No. Like, they won in
Oh, okay. I thought you meant
so
your
this
next
time.
Round. Okay.
This time I get to the Denver Nuggets, number one seed in the West. They've fairly breezed through the playoffs.
Yeah, Mike Malone will remind you.
Michael Malone.
We'll go Mike.
No, don't.
I know he doesn't like it, but I'm saying.
Apparently, Brian Windhorst said that earlier in his career he went by Mike Malone.
Well, I know that. I know that he did. Early in his career, he used to get talked about as Mike Malone all the time. I'm actually calling him Mike Malone because I think Mike Malone wants to remain angry right now.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah.
So I'm just helping a brother out.
Got it. Okay. So he. So this time I go, hey, you know, the Nuggets are going to be a really tough team, and we have to have some respect for the fact that they're the one seed, but I just should not pick against LeBron anymore. I think what these last two rounds have shown us is we should not pick against LeBron. So as soon as I have come to the light, I think maybe I brought some of the darkness with me.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, though, Momo. That was not a prediction said with your chest.
No.
That was frankly feeling exposed for the last two series.
Yeah.
And feeling like you're predicting as you should versus how you feel.
Yeah. I'm a national NBA reporter. I'm supposed to call them like I see them, right? So that you're not supposed to let the fact that you live in LA and you're on LA radio intervene in the idea that, like, okay, if you think one team is going to win for whatever reason, you do that. But now I'm looking at it saying, I picked against LeBron James two series in a row, and I was very wrong. So let's just not do that again. Right? Like, that's even, doesn't, whatever you want to tell me about the Nuggets, that's not a disrespect to them. I'm just going to pretend that they're not playing. Like, I'm not even going to think about who they're playing. It's just stop picking against LeBron.
Well, it's really important to note. Like, Denver is good.
Yeah.
And as much as, you know, Mike Malone has talked about this team being disrespected, and they did spend a lot of this season like criminally overlooked. And I actually think that all of the discussion around Nikola Jokic and the third straight MVP and why he wouldn't be worthy of it because of past playoff failures and all that stuff, I think actually created a trickle-down effect where people just weren't taking Denver
soon as all that came up, the Nuggets actually, they weren't good the last month of the season.
No, they weren't. I think they kind of had nothing to play for and got complacent and whatever. But they've been good this year, and I don't think it's a fluke. But this is a series that the Lakers
I know. I'm like looking over there. You were having a real conversation in here, and Jorge and Greg are
what
just
is going on.
We're not laughing at you. I didn't know if you had a wheel of questions because I forgot to get
so
it for you.
Some up
so and... I actually have a wheel of questions, and so I was going to go through it. If you have your own wheel,
I thought we had established the wheel of questions question.
Okay.
No, it's on a wheel.
I thought we'd established all the stuff on the wheel that
correct.
We were going to spin.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's all.
I thought the wheel had been worked
out. So we're just getting extra ones
Look,
to add to the wheel.
Quiet down, disgusting brothers.
Stop.
The two of you.
Just go back to LeBron. Sorry.
Not even sure what I was going to say at this point. But
all right, we're going to pivot back to this because I see a new tweet from Pete Thamel, who covers college football from ESPN.
Good.
He said he just spoke to USC Athletic Director Mike Bone. He confirmed his resignation from USC and said both sides parted amicably. That means well or without malice. He said he loves the university and industry. Bone said, quote, it's a great time with USC's emergence into the Big Ten for new leadership to move the program forward. Okay.
Well, there would be potentially more travel for Mike Bone with the team going into the Big Ten. Like, you're going to have some longer trips and things like that.
Yeah.
And if you're not necessarily feeling up for it the same way, and his statement did at least hint of the idea of some health issues to monitor, family time, that sort of thing. And the idea of you're going out on top in terms of your mission. Your mission was to turn around USC athletics, which really means turn around USC football. Mm-hmm. And you put them in a good place, it maybe can only go downhill from here. Like, maybe not this coming season or the next couple seasons, but big picture, there's only going to be more stuff to encounter and disentangle and all that stuff. Go out on a high note when everybody loves what you
do. Yeah, yes. I mean, although speculatively, I want to just refrain from even judging the statement because it really could be anything.
Oh, it's very
vague. Really could be anything.
It's quite vague.
Very. The only thing I will say is this is very abrupt, but in reading through some of the LA Times story, there was enough time for Mike Bone to draft a statement and for President Carol Folt to write a letter to the USC community thanking him for his contributions. So, enough time to do those things. So, it wasn't like 20 minutes.
No, I mean...
A couple hours, maybe a day or two.
Which, I mean, again, you can speculate this all the different directions you want. We're going to avoid stuff that feels irresponsible. But it feels to me like if he had time to think about this, time to do a statement or whatever, that it doesn't feel like something so negatively abrupt that it was like, write yourself a statement 20 minutes because you're out of here.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, I hope not.
Yeah.
It would be nice. It would be nice for him to go out on a high note.
Either way, it's a challenging time for someone to take over. This is a big move, Greg. I know you're in favor of this move to the Big Ten.
I love this move to the Big Ten.
When does it start?
Starts in 2024, September of 2024.
So one more year in the Big
Ten. One more year, and then everything else. They were all in the Big Ten. I know you don't like it because of Stanford, but aren't they going to eventually move over there?
I think we're all going to move to the Big Ten, and then we're going to have like the Pacific Division of the Big Ten.
Well, so that's exactly what it's
basically what's going to happen.
This is what we're going to turn into. Though.
But we're going to get all the money from the Big Ten.
Right. It's the best of all worlds.
No, it's not, because you're going to have a random Wednesday game in Maryland.
It's a small price to pay for money.
Here's what's going to happen. Look, eventually we're going to become the Eastern and Western Conference. Football is going to...
Yes.
NCAA is going to just be Eastern and Western. SEC is going to get just gigantic and absorb the ACC, just like the Big 12 is going to go into the Big 10 and the Pac-12 will go into the Big 10. You're going to have East and West conferences,
that's what it's going to be. This is the direction everything has been moving for the past couple decades. Like, all of the traditions have been thrown out the window and dynamited as it is.
Yeah, this is like when the country stopped west of the Mississippi, was not part of our country, right? Like, this is like when America was 54-40 or fight, right? This is, we're starting this with college football.
It's quite the history reference.
Right? With NIL and what they're doing, it just makes sense to just have two conferences. It's basically sports anyway. I mean, these are pro athletes at this point, getting paid, and so the travel's all on luxury planes. It's not anything different than NFL and NBA anyway. Just make it two conferences. Bing, bang, boom.
Okay. It wouldn't be for Wheel of Questions, because that's coming up next, and as we established, the wheel is filled out. But with, you just mentioned like NIL and stuff like that, I have a question coming up later for Ramona to take herself a little bit back in time. Since we're talking about NIL and the Pac-12 and Stanford, and people who don't know, Momo was a super fast softball player for Stanford University. Watched her highlight yesterday. She was booking around those bases. But coming up next, it is the Wheel of Questions. Andy Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne in for the guys, 710 ESPN. Interesting.
Oh.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Kind of mad at myself right now.
Mad at yourself for
Go
what?
Go ahead, do the wheel.
I know. I'm
drinking cactus cooler because there was no waters in the machine.
Cactus cooler is delicious.
It's so good. But I'm trying not to have sugar. And then without a healthy option, look what I'm doing. Okay, get you your wheel of questions.
Okay, here is the question. Fisher Stevens, who plays Hugo on Succession.
Okay.
He recently told The Hollywood Reporter that he has written a Hugo spinoff script, like for himself, like just like the idea of having it available in his back pocket. If anyone's interested, but also too, like it's something that he does for all of his characters. I think it's something that he does in a lot of ways as like a character exercise, like really expanding out the world of who he plays. Which Succession character would you want to see a spinoff of most? Greg can answer too. Jorge, you can go get a coffee or whatever.
I'm all caught up too.
So am I.
Yep.
Same. But this is non-spoiler, by the way. I don't think this would become spoiler.
Anybody That's a really good question. So, you know, there was, did you know that there was a Breaking Bad spinoff? It's called El Dorado.
Yeah, it was a movie.
It was like a random movie that it was about Jesse, basically.
Yeah,
yeah. It was okay.
It was okay. Nice callback, you know, but...
I mean, the spinoff was Better Call Saul. I think El Camino was like, okay...
Oh, yeah, I was going to say El Camino, not El
Dorado. El Camino was, oh, wow, we can really...
Stretch
out the universe. And there had been... I know I had been wondering, like, so is Jesse still in that, like, pit? Or like, where did, what
yeah, happened? I mean, it was like, it was off. Okay, but I just thought more needed to happen. Like, how about 5 years from now, not just the one day?
Well, it was also, it was structured weird too. Like, there was a lot of like flashbacks and things like that. And it felt too like they were sort of grabbing guys while they were available.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, we got Jesse Plemons for a couple days. Let's figure out what to do with him today. Oh, look, Badger's schedule freed up. Yeah. Let's go bring in Badger. But what Succession character would you want to spin off of?
That's a good question. I mean, Shiv is like my favorite character. I kind of want to see what happens with her.
Would you watch a whole series on her, though?
No.
Yeah.
Would I watch a whole series on...
The Disgusting Brothers?
No. The Disgusting Brothers. How about, would you watch a whole series on Mattson?
That could be so disturbing. It would be an entire show around Mattson.
It'd be entertaining for a little bit.
He is, Alexander Skarsgård is so good on this show. Like, my wife has said now, like, she thinks she would be terrified to just be in a room with him. And he's supposedly this lovely person, like, really, really nice.
Yeah.
But she's like, he is so convincing in this role. She's like, it would, if I saw him walking down the street, I would scream in fear and run off.
Like, his world is interesting. You know what? Maybe my answer is that a totally different answer. Maybe it's the political race, because episode 8 obviously was all about the presidential race. And I have been known to watch 1,000 or so West Wing episodes, however many there were.
Ramona Ireland.
Yeah. I mean, that could work.
You love Gorbachev.
All of them. Yeah. All of them.
Wait, tell the Gorbachev story.
Oh, when I was like in second grade and went as Mikhail Gorbachev for Halloween and bought a mask.
Love this. So
like much. went to the Halloween store and they had Gorbachev and George W. Bush masks. And one year I went as Gorbachev for real and wore like my dad's suit. And then the next year I went as George W. Bush and I would knock on people's door and I would say, "No new taxes," and I thought that was
You mean
I haven't heard that part of the story.
You mean HW. You went as HW Bush, correct?
Yeah, HW. Okay, the real George Bush.
Because if you
weren't
going as George W.
No,
like,
you're right.
This is you and you're like
George
20s.
HW. Yeah. Like, no, this is like 1 year I was Gorbachev and the next year I was Bush.
That, oh my God.
And I really did say no new taxes.
Tear down that wall.
No new taxes.
No, that's
Trick
Reagan.
Or treat.
That was Reagan that did that?
Oh. Mr. Gorbachev. Tear down that wall.
Yeah, it was about Gorbachev.
That is so funny. Greg, who would you want?
I was a little weirdo. I was kind of weird.
That is so wonderful.
My parents just let me do it. They were like, whatever.
I mean, it's got to be the Disgusting Brothers. What they do afterwards, because he's obviously not going to end up with Shiv after everything that they've gone through. Tom and Shiv.
I don't know.
I mean, they just ripped each other apart.
As opposed to what these people
all
do.
But that's what you do before you can move forward.
Yeah, sure. Like, get it all out. But, God, that was rough.
I mean, I think one thing that's being set up with this show is they are all destined to be permanently miserable no matter how things shake out, which I think is in a lot of ways the point of Succession.
Yeah, they've been miserable the whole time.
Right, exactly. Like, there is no fate where these people won't be miserable.
Yeah.
So Tom and Shiv might as well be miserable together, like have some type of allyship. For me, my spinoff character is Connor Roy. I would love...
Really?
Yes, because Connor lives... He's the only one of the Roy siblings who hasn't been a part of Waystar. Like, he hasn't really been a part of that world. He lives quite literally in his own world.
His speech the other day was...
Oh, my God. Greatest concession speech ever.
It was like, when's he going to stop? Is this live?
Amazing. It was absolutely... I love
that.
Could
you do a whole season of that, though?
Yes. No.
I don't think I could handle him for
that
long.
No, he's annoying. Wasn't he in Ferris Bueller's Day Off,
too?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's camera.
Yeah,
I like Alan Ruck a lot.
I know, but I just like every time I'm like, that's the guy from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
You have a heart. Wow. It was like 40 years ago.
I'm old. We've established.
No, I mean, like, you still can't see him as anything
else.
Well, he was.
It was a pretty iconic character.
It was an iconic character. He also, too, was like 27 when he played Cameron.
A 17-year-old.
You know what's funny? He and Brian Cox, the age difference between them is only like 7 years. Something like that. Like, Alan Ruck is...
old.
Yeah, he's much older than he looks.
Okay.
Like, Alan Ruck is somewhere in his 60s.
I think I have the right answer. It's the political race. It's the presidential race.
So you would want to watch 4 years of President Mencken.
Or we don't know.
That's true. That is true. We don't know. We just know what has been set up, which is 4 years of President Mencken, which could be rather dark.
Yeah.
Risk of, I know we're told to stay away from politics, but I will just say that's a dark 4 years.
Then. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's what we just went through. I don't know why we would want to do it all over again on a TV show. I don't need to see it again.
It's a dark 4 years. Yeah. But anyway, that is the Wheel of Question. Is it sponsored by anyone?
Nope.
Okay.
It can be sponsored by the... Your
Cactus
podcast.
Cactus Cooler.
Cactus Cooler.
Hey, aren't you the guy who does the Lakers Dance Party Hoedown on your phone?
It is what I do. Thank you, my nephew Ethan. All right, so LeBron, this stat, his fourth quarter numbers, not good in this postseason. Not even just this series, but postseason. 4.5 points per game, little under 35% from the field, 5%. From behind the arc. He is 0 for, I believe, 10 in the postseason. I mean, in this series against Denver from behind the arc. Like, I looked up some of his splits, Momo.
Yeah.
And, like, the catch and shoot threes obviously are not great. Something like 28%. But pull-up threes, he is shooting, like, 12% on those. And those, I bring that up because those are the shots that he took down the stretch last night in the 108-103 Game 2 loss to the Nuggets that really sucked the air out of what the Lakers were trying to do, trying to stave off this Jamal Murray explosion, trying to get themselves a split going back to L.A. It wasn't just that they were misses, and it wasn't just that they put...
Yeah, they were bad ones.
They were bad misses. They were unnecessary misses. They were bad shots.
Yeah, I mean, Austin Reeves had it going.
Rui Hachimura
had it going.
Their ability to get to the line.
Yeah.
That was happening the whole game.
I mean, I've just covered LeBron for so long that it's so shocking to me when he makes the wrong basketball play. Like, even though that's what the defense is giving them, it always surprises me when he takes that shot. I'm like, that's what they want you to do.
But you know what, though? He's done that all season. LeBron has, I don't know if it's taking the bait with the fourth quarter and three-pointers are wanting to take those shots.
If you go back in LeBron history, that's what the Spurs dared him to do during those finals, and he would not take the shots, right? Back in his first finals when they got swept, the Spurs basically said, we don't think LeBron can shoot, so we're not going to defend him, and he just didn't shoot. And so there's almost a little gut check every time of when somebody defends him like that, it's like a challenge. It goes way back to 2000 and I think 8.
That was 2007. When we went to those finals,
right? So that it goes way back, and I got to shoot. If they're giving me that shot, if I don't shoot, they're gonna just keep defending me that way. And there's gonna be no room to drive. I have to prove that I can shoot. I mean, this is a career long thing. Teams will just dare LeBron to shoot them, and if he can make two or three, then they'll crowd him again and they'll defend him straight up. But he didn't make any of them in the fourth quarter.
Here's my question, though, and also we're going to be getting the 2 o'clock call of the day that's coming up obviously in about 6 or so minutes. Why not give up the ball then? Like, give it up to give it back, like, to move yourself into a different spot, maybe put yourself in a position where you can catch it on the run. Like, you don't have to take that shot with like 15 seconds left on the clock. And there'd been no action in the set at all. Like, you don't have to do that.
I mean, to me, with LeBron, when he does that, it's to set up the rest of the game. If he doesn't take those shots, he thinks they will continue to defend him like that, and then the spacing is going to be all messed up. That's why AD was going out to the corner to shoot threes. Some of that is a domino effect from D'Angelo Russell not being effective or even on the court. Like, he can't even play right now because they're sort of playing him off the court. Like, he can't be out there defensively. He's just going to get destroyed out there. And I think if he's not making any shots offensively, then you just can't justify having him on the court.
All right, coming up, the 2 o'clock call of the day, 877-710-ESPN. Reminder, do not ask how we're doing. We're doing just fine. Get to the point. Make it a great point. And we will also talk about D'Angelo Russell because... been hearing it from a lot of Laker fans. They want D'Angelo Russell now coming off the bench. Is that actually the right move for the Lakers heading into Game 3? Andy Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne, in for the guys, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.